Hey, thanks for listening to the Two Pros and a Cup of Joe podcast with Brady Quinn, Jonas Knox, and myself, LeVar Arrington. Make sure you catch us live weekdays 6 to 9 a.m. Eastern or 3 a.m. to 6 a.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. You can find your local station for the Two Pros and a Cup of Joe show over at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR.
Now let's get this party started.
You're listening to Fox Sports Radio.
You know, there's a lot of things to be upset about, a lot of things to penalize in the NFL. This one is a bit strange, and you've got people in the league that are defending it. We will get into all of that coming up here in just a couple of moments from now. It's Two Pros and a Cup of Joe. It's LeVar Arrington. It's Brady Quinn. It's Jonas Knox with you here on FSR. You can hang out with us, as always, on the iHeartRadio app. And wherever you are, making us a part of your Wednesday morning on hundreds of Fox Sports Radio affiliates, we appreciate you doing so. We will take you all the way up until 9 a.m. Eastern time, 6 o'clock Pacific, right here on FSR. And guys, there's a point of emphasis. I don't know if you've seen this. A point of emphasis in the NFL. Flags are flying. Careful saying that on the air fast. But we have got the yellow penalty flags are out because they are enforcing taunting. Taunting in the NFL. I don't know, LeVar, were you a big taunter? Were you a big celebration guy in the face of somebody you sacked or tackled?
No, I wasn't okay. A taunter.
I mean, and
I was a celebrate. I was more of a trash talker.
Okay.
Yeah, I like talking to you.
Yeah,
like telling you I was going to try to kill you.
Yeah, that's good.
Stuff like that.
That's
like
good.
Like I didn't care about your life.
Yeah.
Stuff like just little things.
Yeah,
like
no,
that.
Nothing. It's harmless.
I was too
stuff.
Busy trying to threaten you rather than to taunt you.
Alvin Mack.
They probably should have focused more on rules that govern what I was doing versus like a guy who was pointing in your face or laughing at you or stepping over you.
Yeah.
Like there were real like threats out there, you know.
So there's been a couple of people that have come to the defense of the taunting penalties that are being enforced because it's clear and obvious that this was made, as we mentioned, a point of emphasis, and they're going to try and enforce this as much as possible. The first of which is Ron Rivera of your former team, LeVar, the Washington football team, talking about why the rule was put into place here this season.
The idea behind the taunting rule is to prevent the bigger things. Okay, we've had this example where one guy taunts a guy and then the guy comes back for a little payback, and next thing you know, you got a big fight on your hands. You got guys coming from left field hitting each other, you know, and that's really what you're really, to me, I think the referees are really looking for. They're just trying to get it quieted down.
I mean, Brady, it just sounds like he's trying to look out for the well-being of players. I don't know why everybody's got an issue with this, you know.
Ron Rivera has great perspective because he's a coach and he was a player, right? So he understands it. I do feel like sometimes, you know, the old school players feel like the game should be played in a certain manner. And then as coaches, they try to reflect that with some of their comments. The problem is the NFL is a little bit of a crossroads. I think they want to make it fun. They want to make it entertaining. That's part of it. But they also understand the responsibility that they have to the youth and all those out there playing football, that once they see an NFL player taunt and do it and lack sportsmanship, it's going to be every little league, every 7-on-7 league, high school, junior high, they're going to be doing it too. So that's the concern, and I think that's where we're at a crossroads here. The other issue is is there a direct correlation with taunting and fighting? I don't know. I mean, I'm not so sure those two things, you know, lead to one another every single time there's taunting. But think about this. Last year, in the entire season, I believe we had 11 taunting penalties. We're already at that number now in the NFL.
Wow.
Through 2 weeks. So clearly they're looking for it. They're looking for a reason to call it. And this is how typically the NFL is operated. Anytime there's an emphasis on a rule or a rule change, they will take the first 6 weeks of a season and they will hammer the players.
Yeah.
Hammer the players. And then it starts to slowly go away. That's always been their MO for as long as it's been. So, look, I look at it and think this is kind of stupid. It's like a stupid hill to die on. If you're, like, one, how many fights ultimately are there?
I totally agree.
Like, not enough to make you think you like this is a big factor in all of it. And again, I don't think there's a direct correlation. I mean, LaFleur, you played in the box. Like, you know more than anyone else what causes a fight. Is it truly taunting? Or is it when a guy takes a cheap shot or plays after the whistle or tries to go after your knees or legs or something like that? Is it not?
Yeah, it's more interactive. It's not – I mean, sometimes taunting could be the reason why somebody fights. I mean, it certainly could be. You know, somebody stands over top of you or stands over top of your teammate, the first inclination is to get your teammate out of there, to defend your teammate. And the next thing is by any means necessary. So generally what that means is you're going to knock that dude off of your guy or whatever it may be. And that generally is what leads to it escalating. You know, the way Ron was kind of stating it and listening to your reasoning, I look at it from a couple different perspectives, right? One, you're 100% correct that you are an example to the youth football guys, the high school guys, heck, even the college guys. You're a role model of sorts as to how you do things. I mean, I had my guys that I patterned my game after and tried to be like, and I think we all do. And so you're right. There is a responsibility, a duty to try to be the best version of a professional that you can be, because that, you know, to me is a part of it. But then you have the other side of it where, you know, guys like Charles Barkley have made it very clear. I am not your role model. I'm here to do my job, and how I do my job is how I'm going to do my job. It's up to your parents to raise your kids, or whoever raises your kids. And I'm not going to eat somebody's lunch if that's how they feel, because ultimately it does come down to how a parent or how the people that are in these youth and people's lives are raised. Like, don't let somebody else raise your kids. But with that being said, do you lose the relativity of what's going on? We just talked about this off air, Jonas. And this is where I'll address Ron Rivera's, like, oh, you want to quiet it down and you want to monitor and make sure that, you know, fights don't break out from retaliation and stuff like that. If that's going to happen, it's going to happen. You know, that throwing a flag isn't going to quiet down if somebody's got a burr for another guy during the course of a game. If that's going to happen, it's going to happen. But I ask myself, is the NFL disconnected to how current culture, you know, how it operates, how it runs? I was just saying, we're watching the television and seeing these older people who are talking about policy and laws and different things that they have to come up with solutions for this society and this culture. And seemingly their thought processes are way different than what younger people's thought processes are. Their ability to collect information, their ability to internalize it and interpret it. It's just, it's very different. And those are the people that are making the rules in terms of, oh, we want to stop this taunting. This was something that I believe the owners wanted more than anything else. And these are older guys. So to me, it might be a little overblown, if you ask me, in terms of if you're taunting, like it's competition, it's sport. Do you want people to be good sportsmen? Yes. Do you want to see good sportsmanship? Yes. For the people that don't necessarily do that or subscribe to it, they're also a part of the storyline as well. You know, and if it's not totally egregious, like I remember the neck slash, they got rid of the neck slash. Okay. If you're right. Saying you're going to kill somebody, that's different.
Yes.
Right. But if somebody's like staring you down, like I just did you, or if they step over top of you and they're not like lingering, or if they spin the ball in front of you, like, so what? If you don't want them to do that, don't let them do it on you.
And also, call me crazy, but you guys obviously played at the highest level. In football, you're held accountable physically every single play. I think that sort of lessens the amount of actual trash talk and things like that, because you know I can't go to a certain place because I got to answer for my actions every single play. And it just it feels like they're really overthinking this thing, man, like all the way through.
It's so hard to find that one-on-one scenario. Look, if it's a DB, right, versus a wide receiver – maybe a little easier, or offensive line, or running back, linebacker. But still, there's a lot of moving parts. There's a lot of thinking that goes involved in it. It's different in basketball. You can isolate. It's different if it's like a pitcher hitter. He's going to be coming up, you know, that next time at the plate.
Yeah.
So those scenarios, you know, to your point, it's definitely different. I think here's the part that I battle is it's such an emotional game. And we love, and especially in broadcasting, right, every producer, every director is looking for that reaction. Like, that's what makes it fun. And that's what makes it entertaining to a degree. It wouldn't be the same if guys literally just walked out there, made a great play, turned around, and walked right back to the huddle. Like, there's not that human element to it. And that's the portion of it where, I don't know, of the 11 that have been called so far, maybe half were ultimately justified and the other half are just to prove a point, in my opinion. And again, I think if you're looking for a correlation, because you're right, you know, some of this can lead to a fight. I don't know what percentage it is. You know, is it every 1 in 10, 2 in 10? That's probably the high watermark for me. Like, I don't know that we see that many taunting penalties that ultimately lead to dudes throwing fisticuffs, right, or some brawl breaking out. I think it's hard to do anyway, but ultimately, too, I don't know that it's taunting that leads to that. I think it's more of the physical vulnerability at times or cheap shots that are more often a direct correlation of that.
I mean, it's just purely protecting the brand, right? You're protecting the shield, and I don't have a problem with that. I really don't. I mean, do I feel like it's excessive? If I were a decision maker, if I'm looking at the bottom line and if I feel that it's going to impact my bottom line and my viewership, like, is this family friendly, then maybe I do it just based off of just feeling that it's going to impact my bottom line by doing X. But if I'm just looking at it purely from the state of competition, these are grown ass men. These aren't children. You know what I mean? Like, yeah. these aren't prep school guys. These are grown ass men that are competing against one another. And to me, that's all part of, like, this is a show. Like, for those who may not understand this, let me put you up on a little bit of game here. It is a show. It is a production. It's no different than what we're doing right now. We're putting on a show. We are entertaining you with our words and with our stories and with our knowledge. The same thing goes for any other sport, for a pro sport, for any sport at that matter. You are putting on a show. Now, yes, it is a place for those young people or pros to compete, but it's a reality television show. It's very much unscripted on what's going on the field in terms of what the outcome will be, but it's very much scripted and produced and handled the same exact way any other television show would be produced. And so anything that's going to make this television show a better show for its consumer and that market, then that's what decision you're going to make for what's taking place on the field. You want to ultimately put the best product in front of your viewership as you possibly can so that you can keep the money coming in for what you're being paid for by advertisers and marketers. Like, that's ultimately what this comes down to. It's not about, is it good sportsmanship? It's not about making sure it's good for the youth and being an example. If we're cutting it down, cutting away all of the fat, peeling away the layers from the onion, at the bare center of all of this is the bottom line they feel is impacted if they do X, and X being, let's stop the taunting. That's the bottom line.
Well, they're full of crap. That's the way I see it. I mean,
football.
And to Brady's point, this is going to die down later in the season, just like all this stuff. You remember a few years ago when the big thing was, if we catch anybody black or white using a racial slur on the field, they're going to get penalized? Remember that was like a big, and a couple of guys got popped for it, and it's never happened since. It's almost as if the NFL officials are like, all right, we got to hit a certain amount of quota, a certain amount of penalties to make it seem like we're enforcing this. Almost like you tell, you know, somebody, a cop, hey, you got to write a certain number of tickets this month. You're not as active as you used to be. And he goes out one weekend and he writes all these tickets and then he lets everybody slide the rest of the month. This feels like this is going to die down later in the year. I don't think it's going to be as much of a problem.
What's relevant. Whatever's relevant, yeah. Right? Like, I mean, if there's domestic violence, you're going to see domestic violence.
Yes.
campaigns.
Yes.
It's whatever the campaign calls for to address the general public as it applies to you and painting you in a positive light. That's what they're going to do. And they should. I mean, be clear, like whether you like it or not, they should do that because that's a part of building and growing healthy, strong, successful business is by paying attention to what your clientele is looking for and trying to expand.
It's Two Pros and a Cup of Joe. It's LeVar Arrington, Brady Quinn, Jonas Knox with you here on FSR. Coming up next here on the show, by the way, we are brought to you by Discover. Discover matches all the cash back you earn on your credit card at the end of your first year. It's amazing because Discover's accepted at 99% of places in the U.S. to take credit cards. Learn more at discover.com/yes. 2021 Nielsen report. Limitations apply. All right, so up next, there were a couple of situations that took place this last week in the NFL that directly tie in to a member of this show. Do not go anywhere. The juicy details next year on FSR.
Be sure to catch live editions of Two Pros and a Cup of Joe with Brady Quinn, LeVar Arrington, and Jonas Knox weekdays at 6 a.m. Eastern, 3 a.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
It's my jam right here. Here we go. Here we go. Now, y'all won't hear this on the podcast, but for those who are enjoying this right now, you're about to get this. You ready for this? Rainstorms, take me away from the norm. Yeah, here you go. I've got to tell you something.
I like it.
Here we go. This phenomenon, hey, Birdo. We had to put it in a song, and it goes like, whoa, amber is the color of... Whoa, the eardrums are the best, though.
Yeah, yeah.
The eardrums the best.
Hey, what kind of drum is that, Brady?
I don't know. Oh, is it a snare?
Yeah, what kind of snare, Brady?
Did I hear you singing backup vocals for a second? I thought I could hear some backup vocals.
He'd say, hey. Hey.
A little piccolo snare.
Man, y'all just had a moment. That was a moment, though.
Yeah, man.
It's all right. Listen, I hope it was
a moment with our listeners out there. I was trying to sing to them.
Especially
those
on the podcast who don't know what the hell's going on.
Yeah.
It was Amber by 311. By the way,
that is a very good song.
If you had to guess where the band 311 is from, we've already done this before. Brady,
though, so
Big Ten school.
I now know, though.
Have we actually done this before?
It's a Big Ten state.
I mean, maybe you aren't on that one.
Yes.
I don't think I was here.
All right, so Brady, if you had to guess where 311 is from, it's Big Ten country.
Here's the thing is, so Jeff Samardzija.
Google.
No. He doesn't even let me finish. I don't telegraph the same way you do.
All right.
Jeff Samardzija was a big fan of this band and a few others, and I remember this distinctly coming up.
Yeah,
I believe they're from Nebraska.
Oh, okay. Wow. Oh, boy. But it took that much time for the Wi-Fi to kick in there.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Wow.
Booyah.
Hey, remember when Jonas teased that that first pitch by Conor McGregor in his tight suit?
Yes.
Yeah, but I adjusted on the fly. You know, shifting gears.
No, it was an awful adjustment.
You get it? On the tight suit.
Yeah.
Adjusted fly.
Adjusted
fly.
Hey, so Samardzija, big fan of 311. Was he a big fan of the left-handed cigarettes, if you know what I mean? Is that why is
it? What?
Left-handed cigarettes. You never heard that before?
No, I have not.
Weed, brother. Yeah, weed.
I've heard the Green Wolf. All right,
the Green Wolf.
What sound effect was that?
Yeah.
Hey, Berto, what was that you just played?
That's not a long baby.
Oh my God.
That's not a long baby.
You're getting a 15-yard penalty for taunting
is taunting.
We have to be professional and make sure that the kids that are listening don't use that sound effect.
Why don't we do? We should enforce penalties on this show.
I mean, why not?
Yeah. And so what should the penalty be?
15 yards, flagrant, too much air in the fart noise.
Yeah, we got it. Yeah, that's a good point. We have to enforce some penalties. But yeah, no, I just wonder if maybe a left-handed cigarette while I was listening to 311 there, Brady. Just wondering about that. Little Green Wolf. Little hippie lettuce.
Mm. Well, tickling you have to understand
God's
the type of drug testing that we
God's
got
hair.
At Notre Dame. Yeah, at Notre Dame, we had urine and we had hair drug testing.
Oh, wow.
So you weren't getting away with anything if you wanted to try something. Huh. So
right.
A little different than other places.
By the way, we are brought to you by NHTSA.
I claim racist if you touch my hair.
Damn right.
I'm trying to get out of that test.
I hear you.
Don't you touch my hair.
Yeah, you bastards.
Touch Brady's hair.
Yeah, you racist bastards.
All right, go back to NHTSA. All right. I'm sorry.
By the way, when a train hits a vehicle at a railway crossing, the results are often deadly. Be cautious at crossings, and if the signals are going, don't be tempted to try and sneak across the tracks. Even if you don't see a train stop, trains can't. Brought to you by NHTSA. All right, so I believe that Brady Quinn is the definition of an AFC North quarterback. All right, here's why. Would you say that you're a meathead, Brady Quinn?
Jeez.
I'm just asking the question.
I mean, not as big of one as I used to be, okay. But yes, I still check that box.
All right. Hmm. I noticed a couple of things in the AFC North this weekend. All right. After throwing interceptions, well, first of all, Baker Mayfield hurt himself. There's no significant injury there. Baker Mayfield's going to be fine. I think the tests were negative, if I'm not mistaken. So Baker's going to be fine. He was trying to make a tackle following an interception. Joe Burrow also on his knee tried to chase down Roquan Smith to try and make a tackle on an interception, which reminds me of Brady Quinn, who tried to make a tackle on an interception. And I believe you pissed off the entire Baltimore Ravens fan base, if I'm not mistaken, because
yes,
you might have gone low.
There's some truth to that. I wasn't necessarily even trying to tackle the ball carrier. I was just trying to take out the convoy that was leading him to the end zone.
Do you want to describe the story?
I think I tackled Ray Lewis on the sideline once. I threw an interception to was it Chris McAllister? Mm. They got me on the coverage. They acted like they were rolling back to one high look, but then after I came off of looking at the free safety, he then spun back to the half of the field. They end up playing like a soft cover two on that side. I mean, Braylon Edwards, who was the wide receiver, he still ran the route too. Technically, he should have adjusted his route. But when I
good
threw
for
it,
you.
Well, no. I'm just saying, like it was a good disguise. Like we were both like, oh, okay, like that's not what we thought it was. But McAllister picked it off. I think he pitched it to Ray because I just remember going to cover down, and like the worst thing is throwing a pick six. It's the worst thing in the world. You at least want to give your defense a chance to get out there and get you a stop and not, you know, not only put them, because even though people think like throwing a pick and you're putting them like in the red zone or something, it's a tough spot to be in. What's worse is when they have to go back out there in a couple series because you're coming back on the field and you're not giving them any momentum. Like you're not helping them at all and you just let them put up points on you. So I always try to cover down. And I think McAllister pitched it to Ray Lewis. And I didn't even remember who I tackled at the time. I was so ticked off of myself. And literally on the sideline, like just tried to go right at his thigh boards. Like just probably launched. It was probably like the worst tackle ever. But I ended up getting up. I didn't realize who it was until the next day looking at the film. I was like, oh, all right.
It was so Ray.
Now, yeah. What about Terrell Suggs? What happened with Terrell Suggs? Any stories with Terrell Suggs by any chance?
Well, like I said, it wasn't intentional. I was literally running around. It was a tip pick. I threw a slant, hit off Mike Furry's chest. I can't remember who got it, but Suggs, like I didn't see Suggs. He clearly must have seen, have seen me. I was going and diving at the ball carrier, but then he was right there. As soon as I came on a right tackle, who I think was John St. Clair, which, by the way, that guy was massive.
Yes. Yeah.
John St. Clair was one of the biggest players I've ever played with. He was like 6'6", 340 pounds, 50 pounds. And as I came around the corner, I just remember trying to dive to go tackle, which, I mean, at that case, as a quarterback, even though I played defense a long time ago, my eyes were probably closed, no idea what I was doing. But I literally like went right into Terrell Suggs, who was like coming around John St. Clair. And it was like kind of a bang-bang quick play, but it obviously hurt Terrell's knee, which I felt terrible about, got fined for and all that. Didn't even try to appeal it because I was just like, there's no point. I feel awful about this. But, yeah, that did not go over well with the Baltimore Ravens team. Mm.
Yeah, I have some quotes from the Baltimore Ravens team.
Of course you do.
Well, I'm just saying, I wanted to do enough research here for this segment. You know, they call me Show Prep Jesus for a reason.
By the way, hey, you know what this is, LeVar? This
What's
is
that?
Payback for me spoiling
I'm,
this
There's no payback.
Oh,
no, I just, okay. No, this is not, because they
I was
two,
wondering what the what your agenda
it
was.
It does
was
seem just, like it's come out of left field.
Well, no, I noticed when Baker Mayfield got hurt, it sparks a memory. memories of Brady Quinn being so pissed off at an interception that he's decided to violently try and ruin an entire franchise. So I just think that that's right. And you've always said Brady's a linebacker who plays quarterback, correct?
Yes. Yeah.
He will take your
at
head off.
At least the safety.
Yeah. Mm. Oh, he will rip your head off. Yeah. And do just enough harm to cause your franchise to go in a tailspin. But Ray Lewis, after the hit on Terrell Suggs by Brady Quinn, this from November of 2009. Quote, "That's an illegal blow. I don't care how you look at it. When you're running down and you're looking at the quarterback going at somebody's knees who doesn't even have the ball, I want to see if he gets the same fine I got or even higher." Now, did you get the same fine for that hit, Brady Quinn, that Ray Lewis would have gotten?
I have no idea. I think I got fined $10,000 for it.
Did you really?
Yeah. Yeah, and like I said, I did not appeal it because, one...
Oh, you did say that. You did say that. Wow. Yeah.
I got fined $10,000 for that.
No.
So, and look, when and on film, it looked terrible because you're looking from the eye in the sky, and you're thinking, well, he should be able to see, it looks dirty. And I was like, dude, I can't see past my right tackle. And honestly, the more I thought about it, I was like, let's just say I would have ran around my right tackle to try to make that play.
You would have got obliterated.
Suggs would have blown me up.
Yeah.
He would have obliterated me because I didn't see him coming. So the whole thing was, again, I understand their point of view, but that was not the intent by any means.
Self-preservation at that moment.
Would you
for
like,
sure.
Would you like to hear some quotes from Brady Quinn himself?
Yeah,
back from 2009, back when he didn't know who the hell I was. He knew who LeVar was. He had no idea who I was. I believe I was probably bussing tables at that point. Actually, I think I was doing radio in Charleston, South Carolina at the time. I mean, talk about worlds colliding here. But here we are. These are the quotes from Brady Quinn after the play. And we've got a little studio band here to go ahead and join us here as we say these quotes.
That's perfect.
This is... quote, "I was trying to go for the ball carrier," Quinn said.
"I was trying to go for the ball carrier.
I was trying to make the tackle on Chris Carr.
I was trying to make the tackle on Chris Carr.
I would never wish that upon anyone.
I needed Irish must.
I was upset about it on the field.
I needed some Guinness.
He was somebody I worked out in Arizona with.
I worked out with them.
I will be praying for him.
I drank with them.
Again, we are sorry about that.
Hey, mate. I mean, wait. That's Australia. That's Australia.
What do you think he's from?
I'm so sorry. I went somewhere different.
More from Quinn. Again, we are sorry about that. That was never the intent. I'm sorry to Terrell and the rest of their team. I apologize to the team as much as I could. I talked to Terrell as well, but he was in pain at that point in time, and I don't know if he even heard me. So there's that.
I mean, look, I felt awful about it. Literally, as soon as I hit him and like I like kind of came to what happened, I was like, oh geez, like I felt terrible. You could go back and watch the replay. It's on Monday Night Football. So
how many times did you play against him after that game?
That was the second time that season.
So you had some time for it to kind of die down then.
Yeah, I just remember the rest of the game. I think it was Jarrett Johnson was like one of their DNs. He just kept taking cheap shot after cheap shot towards the end. And it was like I think we lost 20-0, whatever it was. I mean, they were a really good football team that year. We were not. But I just remember the rest of that game. He was talking trash the whole time. And I was just like, I there's nothing you can say at that point because it wasn't intentional. I wasn't trying to. But they were clearly ticked off about it. But like I said, like I don't know what you want me to do at that point.
Okay, but if you would have thrown a pick – and Terrell Suggs saw you not looking, he would have taken you out, correct?
Not legally, we're not allowed to do that.
I think back then, though, if you go after the football, you can.
Then you can get him.
Which
in
is 09, what I was doing.
Yeah, in 09, if he was going for the ball, you'd definitely wipe him out.
Because you would look for quarterbacks
I would have wiped Brady's ass smooth out.
And that's the thing is people don't realize – I always – like what's the difference between college and NFL? One of the differences is these dudes on defense are trained killers. Like I'm not even exaggerating. Like I always laugh because like when I watch people gang tackle in college, you're like – after playing in the NFL, you're like, just punch the ball out. Just punch it out. Like the first guy stands him up. The second guy comes in and tries to rip out the ball. And even the way you rush, like the way LeVar would blitz or the way guys would rush – when they're rushing a quarterback, Like, they're trying to get the ball and, like, well, at least it used to be, inflict pain at the same time.
Yes.
Like, and they could do both.
And sometimes I wanted the pain instead of the ball. Like,
exactly. Because with the pain, the ball comes.
Well, I'd sacrifice trying to strip the ball to hit you harder.
Like, exactly. Sometimes
that was my thing.
Yeah, but if you knock the ball out, it counts as a sack. Sometimes
it was just a thing to hit the person as hard as you could.
And like
you're not
up.
Even allowed to do those things. Like, who was that got the roughing the passer and he tried? It was Chase Young.
Oh, yeah, right.
He almost tried to stop himself.
Yeah.
I mean, like, what do you want the guy to do?
Do you want him
to tackle him and then, like, what? You have to be more athletic to not hurt somebody or get a flag than ever before. Like, I have no idea what they want these guys to do in those moments. And those moments for me, in fact, in our day, you got 1.5 to 2 steps after they release the ball. So if I'm close enough to you with 1.5 to 2 steps, I am lacing you up. Lacing you up. Now you can't even hit them. If that ball is coming out, you can't hit them.
They went the opposite of the NBA. You know, it used to be like 1.5 steps, and then that was like the Euro step. Now they like dudes take like 3 steps to go to the hoop. Yeah, they went the opposite. Now, like, defenders get no steps in when hitting a quarterback, which, look, it would have been a great time to come into the league now. Wide receivers are protected. You're protected as a quarterback. Like, I mean, look, Tom Brady said it. I mean, whether he's saying the league is getting softer with their rules or the way it's protecting certain players, it puts defenders at risk, but it also makes their job so much harder. And it takes away kind of from that part of the game where, look, as a quarterback, you know, you could say that throw is inaccurate. A lot of times I'm naturally throwing away from the defender because I don't want my guy to get hit. Mm. In today's NFL, quarterbacks hang out wide receivers all the time because they know they're protected. They know these defenders. They know LeVar's not going to hit them the way he once could.
Yeah,
I remember Kurt Warner said this after he threw a pass to Anquan Boldin in the end zone, and Anquan Boldin got absolutely disintegrated and was out on the field. I think he had like a broken jaw because Kurt Warner ended up airing him out. And Kurt Warner said afterwards, like, he didn't want to play football anymore.
It's the worst feeling.
Like,
it is the worst.
He said he felt so bad seeing him because they had to remove his face mask. They had to, like, it was bad. It was a bad scene. He was out cold. And Kurt Warner said he really did not want to play anymore after that. He felt so terrible.
You know, it's crazy. I never had a hit like that ever. Ever.
Well, thank God.
And I've put people to sleep.
Yes.
Like, sleep.
Yeah.
But I never looked at him and was like, oh, I wish I wouldn't have hit him like that.
I'm terrified.
Sorry, I'm just having a real moment.
But
I'm terrified.
This is what I'm telling you, though. That's what's on the other side of the football. Like,
yes.
People think out there, you're listening right now, think this is all fun and games. It is not.
Notice how I joke a whole lot, but I wasn't joking right here
and
now?
LeVar started shaving like that guy off The Predator, and his face started bleeding, and he didn't realize it.
Look, you know how we talk about these rookie quarterbacks, and we're like, oh, you know, you need to be careful putting out that too early, make sure they know what they're doing. This is an example of that.
Yes.
Because this is how you know these guys think. There's no remorse.
No.
They're trying to take their head off.
Yes.
It's two pros and a cup of Joe here
Literally.
On Fox Sports Radio. LeVar Arrington, Brady Quinn, Jonas Knox. Coming up next, we are going to determine a winner. It's a competition you won't hear anywhere else on sports radio. It's yours next here on FSR.
Be sure to catch live editions of Two Pros and a Cup of Joe with Brady Quinn, LeVar Arrington, and Jonas Knox weekdays at 6 a.m. Eastern, 3 a.m. Pacific.
It's Two Pros and a Cup of Joe here on Fox Sports Radio. It's LeVar Arrington. It's Brady Quinn. It's Jonas Knox. Coming up 10 minutes from now, top of next hour, we could have a little bit of an issue between a quarterback and his offensive coordinator. We will get into that here coming up a little over 10 minutes from now. We did mention earlier Conor McGregor's awful first pitch. Brady Quinn stealing my thunder, ruining my tease as to why I was going to make an excuse for McGregor in his tight suit. But we do, I thought it was worth pointing out that McGregor also sang the seventh inning stretch. All right, so we have 3 auditions here for the best seventh inning stretch being sung at Wrigley Field. We've got first Conor McGregor. This is entry number 1. We're going to determine who was the best. So here was Conor from last night at Wrigley.
Take me out to the ball game. Take me out with the crowd. Buy me some peanuts and crackers. I don't care
I mean, he really tried.
He did.
He really tried. Good for him.
At Cracker Jack. That's interesting. So not a fan of Cracker Jack. By the way, an overrated candy, if you ask me. Not really into Cracker Jack.
Cracker Jack?
Yeah, I'm pretty good.
Well, first off, it was more about the little
thing inside.
I guess. All right. Would you
that was always the case. Remember cereals that had that?
All right. Would you like to hear Mike Ditka sing the
let's hear it.
Don't worry. This isn't going to take long.
I'm going to turn this down a little bit.
Take me out to the ball game. Take me out with the crowd. Bobby's happy that they're coming for me. I don't care if I ever get back. I will run up for the whole team. And they don't really get
paid. It's the best.
Come, three tracks you're out of the
old ball game. Ball game.
Yeah, that sounds like a radio host trying to get a read in the final 10 seconds of an hour and realizing I'm behind on reads.
How bad did he not want to do that?
Oh my God,
I loved it.
He just wanted no part of it.
I think he crushed it.
And then this is the we saved the best for last.
I don't know, that one's going to be hard to outdo.
Yeah, well, you know, it would have been hard to outdo if not for Ozzy Osbourne several years ago.
But isn't he a singer?
One, two.
You're a singer, Ozzy. What?
I don't remember.
What? I don't remember. Is he asleep? It sounds like he's falling asleep.
That's what it would sound like.
Let's get some runs. Don't mess around. Let's get some runs, guys.
Oh, my gosh. You're a singer.
That's what it would sound like if Weekend at Bernie's had speaking parts. Like, it would have sounded exactly like that. Who is the best? Who is the best of that? Are we going with Ozzy? I got to go Ozzy.
Ozzy was clearly the funniest.
I mean, come on, man.
But Mike is, come on. He's Chicago. Mike's was like the best.
Oh, man. That is, that's too good.
Mike's was iconic.
Yes.
Ozzy had to have been drunk, right?
Well, I don't get how he didn't know the lyrics. Like, they usually even, it's posted up there
on
the score.
I mean, paper.
It's unbelievable.
Oh, he wasn't trying to read.
He was trying to do a whole lot of anything.
Yeah. Oh, man. Are you going to do the seventh inning stretch at Wrigley this weekend, Brady? You're in town.
No.
I don't know if you know
no,
that.
No, I'm out. I'm in. I'm out, man.
Oh, come on.
Fox Sports Radio has the best sports talk lineup in the nation. Catch all of our shows at foxsportsradio.com. And within the iHeartRadio app, search FSR to listen live.